Greetings, everyone. Hopefully, everybody's staying warm. You know, isn't it beautiful? I like sunshine. You know, if you wear the right kind of sunglasses, it looks like the beach. Good. No, I'm glad to be here. It's wonderful. You know, we just traveled the circuit a little bit the last few weeks. It's always good. It's almost like a homecoming here. And we couldn't have to have a Sabbath without having anything to do. Just kidding. Greetings to everyone online. I'm glad you could join us. Hopefully everybody is safe, warm, and sound. What is the significance of the first Sunday in February, which happens to be tomorrow? Anybody? What is that day commonly called? It has actually a name. Tomorrow marks a special day, kind of an unofficial holiday here in the United States. The first Sunday in February is also known as, yes, Super Sunday, or more commonly Super Bowl Sunday. The Super Bowl is the annual championship game of the National Football League. And who am I to tell you that? After all, I was born and raised in Switzerland. And as Stephanie always says, you know, when we got married, I was almost perfect. And then I found football. Which team has the most Super Bowl wins? Actually, two. New England Patriots and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Both enjoyed the most Super Bowl championship titles with 6 each, and followed by the Dallas Cowboys. Actually, that's my time in Big Sandy, Texas. You know, you had to watch the Cowboys, and it was their heyday. And that's how we enjoyed. And oftentimes you go and sell concessions and raise some funds for the student body. And that's fond memories there. Dallas Cowboys and San Francisco 49ers with 5 wins each. The Patriots have the most Super Bowl appearances with 11, and there's a good reason. And one significant player is back in the Super Bowl, this time without, obviously, the Patriots. The National Football Conference, NFC, and the American Football Conference, AFC, are tied with 27 Super Bowl wins each. Speaking of being balanced, isn't it? The 7 most watched broadcasts in U.S. television history are Super Bowls. So then, who plans on watching tomorrow's game? And who plans on watching a game mainly for the commercials, which will set you back at about $5.5 million per 30-second spot? It's slightly down $100,000 from last year. Please join me in asking, what are some of the key characteristic traits essential to emerge victorious? And what does ultimate victory look like, especially for us children of the Most High? Again, what are some of the key characteristic traits essential to emerge victorious? And what does ultimate victory look like, especially for us children of the Most High? Let's at least begin to answer these questions in the remaining minutes of this message. Because if you were to seek a comprehensive answer, we'll be here during the Super Bowl tomorrow. Title, Striving to Emerge Victorious. Striving to Emerge Victorious. Let's begin by examining 7 characteristic traits of a spiritual Super Bowl champion, followed by what ultimate victory looks like. I have only 2 points today, but the first point has 7 sub-points. Characteristic traits of a spiritual Super Bowl champion as the first point. The regular season began 21 weeks ago with 32 teams vying for glory. At the genesis of the season, the odds of winning the Super Bowl were Kansas City Chiefs 7-1. No, the reigning champ, I would assume so. especially since they didn't have a turnover at quarterback. Minnesota Vikings, 25-1. And Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 50-1. Nobody probably told them that it, after all, it's a quarterback game. And here we are, the culmination of a hard-fought season is upon us. And it was a rather interesting season given the current pandemic realities, where you never knew from week to week, if you are a fantasy football aficionado, who is going to play. It's the great equalizer to a degree. The defending champion Kansas City Chiefs is the clear favorite to win this game. In comparing the two key playmakers, we find many similarities. You know, Tom Brady, you know, the senior, so to speak, and Patrick Mahomes are more similar than they are different. Both were promising baseball players before committing to football. And that should be fun too when you see them. That's why it's so hard to defend against, you know. You never know when that ball is going to be released, how they will just kind of snap it, almost like baseball players. Both players entered the NFL with little fanfare despite successful college careers. Both quarterbacks sat behind an established veteran as rookies before taking the reins during the second season. And both players took full advantage of their opportunities, needless to say. Much is riding on this game. Tomorrow, millions will be glued to their television sets, all wanting the answer to one question. Who will win? Who will win? One way to answer such a question is to ask, what does it take to become a Super Bowl champion? Let me tell you who will win. The winner of tomorrow's game will be the team that exhibits special traits. One, the team that has the greatest desire. The team that has the most discipline. Or is the most disciplined, depending on how you look at it. The team that has the most conviction to overcome obstacles. The team that has the most commitment and focus. The team that has the most courage to face challenges without fear. The team that is willing to sacrifice all. And the team that possesses the greatest character. That team will win the Super Bowl. Many athletes play the game, but there are only a few that rise to the status of a Super Bowl champion, and some in a repeated fashion, and there's good reason for that. And it's also a good reason why it's elusive to others. I have to give you guys an incentive to stay awake till the end. I give you two trivia questions, which shall be answered toward the end. One, who won Super Bowl 15? A hint, moved the team one state to the east just this past season. And two, related to that, who wore number 77 of the winning team? It's actually a defensive end. A hint, he was an instructor of mine. More on that towards the end of this message. What separates the Super Bowl championship team from the team with the worst record? And again, we already touched on that. It is desire, discipline, conviction, commitment and focus, courage, sacrifice, and character applied day in and day out. Vince Lombardi, former coach of the Green Bay Packers, and the winning coach of Super Bowl I stated in a speech called What It Takes to Be Number One. Here's a quote. Winning is not a sometime thing. It is an all-the-time thing. You don't win once in a while. You don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit. Unfortunately, so is losing. Every time a football player goes to play his trade, he's got to play from the ground up, from the soles to his feet, right up to his head. The soles of his feet right up to his head. Every inch of him has to play. Many of us who have been around for a while and have had employees or worked for people, we could not agree more. You know, I know my people so well, and even on the leadership team, I know pretty much what next week is going to look like. You know, who will do well and who's not. Because exactly for that, some show up to win, and some just go through the motions. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We are all aware that another game, not really a game, but another game is being played tomorrow. And we are all part of that game. Actually, it's a reality for us. It is not a game. But unlike Super Bowl, or unlike the Super Bowl, our game is continuous with lasting consequences. Yet, like the NFL, only a few during the present age will rise to the level of play exhibited by a Super Bowl champion. So our question this afternoon and tomorrow night should be, what does it take to be a spiritual Super Bowl champion? What separates a champion from a bush leaguer? The seven traits that define a Super Bowl team are the same traits that define a spiritual Super Bowl champion: desire, discipline, conviction, commitment, courage, sacrifice, and character. We find these traits in two passages of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 through 27. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control. I pummel my body and make it a slave, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. We find the second passage today in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. In the Corinthian passage, Paul is speaking of the Isthmian Games, which were held every 2 years in Corinth. I guess Amber Alert here, which is trouble. In the Corinthians passage, Paul is speaking of the Isthmian Games, which were held every 2 years in Corinth. Their athletes would compete for crowns made of leaves. However, Paul was encouraging believers to compete for a prize with more lasting significance. Philippians 3, verse 12 through 14. Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting that lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The first trait of a spiritual Super Bowl champion is desire. Desire. Paul says, run to win. Desire is to want something. Great desire is to want something so bad that we can taste it. For the spiritual Super Bowl champion, there is no greater desire than to be in a close, dynamic relationship with our father and brother, and ultimately to come face to face with them. And if you want to jot down Psalm 42, verse 1, you don't need to turn there. Psalm 42, verse 1, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. See, that's how those two messages fit together, the hunting stories. And the highest desire that can possess any heart is a longing to come face to face with our Father and our brother, Jesus Christ. Such a desire for our Father and our brother should compel us and propel us to run with all that we have, all that we've got. Unfortunately, instead of going for the gold, we too often settle for silver or bronze. In fact, most believers never venture too far past the starting line. Instead of straining and pressing on, we get comfortable on the sidelines. What does it take to make a pro athlete? It begins with a burning desire to compete and win. Vince Lombardi stated, "The difference between a successful person and others is not a lack of strength, not a lack of knowledge, but rather in a lack of will." The Apostle Paul had such a desire. No, he was, of his time, the Bart Starr, the Vince Lombardi of early believers. And he desired that we be the same. Yet desire alone is not sufficient, as we understand. Desires only take shape when they are accompanied by discipline. For example, many of us desire to lose weight, but without discipline, it won't happen. The saying goes like this: I may have the wanna, but if I don't have the gotta, I'm never going to have the getta. And the Bart Starr, as you know, it's a tremendous athlete. You know, for the Packers, that's what we all needed on our team. It's an individual who went into, can you believe, in the 17th round, but then won the Super Bowl 3 consecutive years. It's still elusive to anybody. 15 years with the Green Bay Packers. And you thought it was Vince Lombardi, huh? No. The second trait of a spiritual Super Bowl champion is discipline. Discipline. Without discipline in the believer's life, we will never grow. And it's also so against our human nature to have that discipline. We will be forever doomed as a spiritual weakling, easy prey to our own carnal nature, but also for the adversary and his followers. To attempt to live the life as a child of the Most High without spiritual discipline would be like Don Knotts, a.k.a. Deputy Sheriff Barney Fife, climbing into the ring with Mike Tyson. Somebody's going to get hurt real bad. Please turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Paul tells us that the competitor goes into strict training. He's strained and pressed on, like a bodybuilder who adds more weight and extra reps in order to increase his muscle mass. Paul felt the burn and pushed past it. Why? Because he needed the muscle and the skill in order to effectively pursue his desire. As we all well understand, maturity in Christ doesn't just happen. It takes hard work. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7. Train yourself for godliness, keeping yourself spiritually fit. Again, train yourself for godliness, keeping yourself spiritually fit. As there are no shortcuts to peak physical condition, there are no shortcuts to peak spiritual condition. You know, in a way, it would be nice. We would be baptized, receive God's Spirit after the laying on of hands, and we are spiritual giants. As we understand, that's not the case. We have to grow. Unfortunately, too many believers run aimlessly, sometimes look the wrong way too. They will never win the prize because they refuse to train. Please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. The word discipline has become a dirty word in our culture. It is not easy. It is not fun. Oh no. Yet discipline is essential to success. Tom Landry, former coach of the Dallas Cowboys, had to put something in for tax here. Said, the job of a football coach is to make men do what they don't want to do in order to achieve what they've always wanted to be. Most of us want to win, we just do not want to suffer. Hebrews 12 verse 11. Hebrews 12 verse 11. For the moment, all the discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Discipline puts feet to an athlete's desire to become a spiritual Super Bowl champion, or a Super Bowl champion in a physical life. Yet to perform at the highest level, a child of the Most High has to be convicted to overcome any obstacle we are faced with. The third trait of a spiritual Super Bowl champion is conviction. Conviction. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Conviction allows individual athletes and teams to overcome obstacles when they arise because they have a strong belief in what they're doing, regardless of the struggles and challenges faced along the way. Without this conviction, obstacles can quickly become barriers to success. How is it with each one of us in our walk with our brother and our father? Are we convicted of our Father's great master plan for us and all of mankind and creation? The Apostle Paul said that he pressed on toward the goal. He was focused and committed to completing his own Super Bowl. He didn't give up because he possessed the conviction to stay in the fight. I mean, too tremendous. We cannot even fathom what he went through. Left for dead after so many, being stoned to death, and people just kind of, he's done. We leave, and then you wake up and remove everything, and you come back, to keep going. Never to give up. He never retired. Again, he didn't give up because he possessed the conviction to stay in the fight. He kept the end game in mind. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 13. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 13. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. We find a parallel scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let us be alert and on guard to stand firm in our conviction. Do we see a winning formula in the ways of our Father? 2 Corinthians 1 verse 24. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 24. In faith, strong conviction, you stand firm. What do we hope for? What do we strive for? Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Do we possess the faith, the strong conviction of the reality of what we hope for? Hebrews 11 verse 1. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Conviction allows us spiritual athletes to overcome obstacles when they arise. As we can attest, life is sure not a pleasure cruise. What are the obstacles and challenges in our spiritual walk? And again, that's different. As we have heard even in the sermonette, everybody's experience is different. Our conviction in the ways of our Father will allow us to stay the course regardless of the struggles and challenges faced along the way. And if you don't believe that there are struggles and challenges, let's just look at the prayer request list, you know, whether local or beyond. Again, without this conviction, obstacles can quickly become barriers to success. Our conviction will then allow us to be committed to go all in our spiritual race. The fourth trait of a Super Bowl champion is commitment. Commitment. Focus, conviction, and commitment will determine whether or not we view our walk with our Father as a recreational sport or a serious pro competition. Unfortunately, commitment is a dying quality in society at large, and it has then an impact on us. We cannot deny that fact. The attitudes and propensities of society around us have a tremendous impact on us. When life gets tough, our human inclination is to check out other options and alternatives. There must be an easier way, not a better way. I always tell my team members too, it's easy to find the simple way. But I always say we need to be committed to the relentless pursuit of a better way. It's not the easy way. We see this trend, this looking for alternatives or the easier way, the easier path. We see this trend in every area of life. Yet the Super Bowl quality performance cannot be achieved without it. All life activities have their ups and downs. And many of us, you know, are living proof of that. Only those who are committed to riding out the crests and the troughs will succeed. Vince Lombardi said, quote, "The quality of a person's life is in direct proportion to their commitment to excellence, regardless of their chosen field of endeavor. Once a man has made a commitment to a way of life, he puts the greatest strength in the world behind him. It's something we call heart power. Once a man has made this commitment, nothing will stop him short of success." And I would submit to you, it applies for the ladies the same way. In 1998, quarterback Tony Rice led Notre Dame's football team to a national championship. Before the season, sport writers wondered whether Notre Dame could beat the tough teams with a quarterback like Rice, whose passing often was inaccurate. They didn't know that Coach Lou Holtz had bought Rice a dart board and told him to practice throwing darts an hour a day. Rice didn't see how that would help his passing, but he did as his coach said. He was committed and focused. Soon he began to throw passes with more accuracy and confidence, both of which were evidenced in a banner season. Focus and commitment make the difference between a casual spiritual Bush leaguer and a spiritual Super Bowl champion. This step is crucial. Without laser point focus and commitment, we fracture into too many areas. We become double-minded. The book of James tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all he does. We have desire, discipline, conviction, and commitment, which will lead to the next trait, courage. The fifth trait of a spiritual Super Bowl champion is courage. Courage. What all athletes are doing is focusing on winning. They are wondering how they can look good to spectators, coaches, and teammates. You know, endorsement deals are on the line. They are wondering how to stop themselves from choking. Most of all, they are wondering how to avoid losing. Organizations can easily fall into this trap as well, where everyone from the top down just wants to play it safe, no longer willing to advance courageously. Let's revisit 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. How do we go through life? Are we playing it safe to avoid losing? Even though we have the desire, the discipline, the conviction, and the commitment to win, do we have the crucial courage to go through life to emerge victorious? These impulses are a big disadvantage to winning. You know, when you think you get distracted with all this, you know, you can quickly lose courage, you know. You think of what does the spectator think. That's why some players say it's actually easier now. No spectators in the stadium. No, because who knows what's happening behind the camera, you know. You don't hear them boo. They're a big disadvantage because they put pressure on us by creating fear, all those elements. We cannot control outside factors like the proverbial spectators, coaches, and teammates. What is holding us back? What is our mindset? What is our frame of mind? 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 16, 13, to revisit that scripture that we looked at earlier. Be alert and on your guard. Stand firm in your faith, in your conviction. Act like men and be courageous. Grow in strength. Once we stand firm in our conviction and are committed, it is time to act like men and be courageous. On our journey to become a spiritual Super Bowl champion, let us be courageous and grow in strength. Important here is to point out, it's not to take crazy risks, because that's oftentimes the undoing on teams too, where just the irrational is done. That's not courageous. You know, just doing, because you cannot think of anything better to do and just step in a certain direction. That's not what we're talking about. It is really based on the preceding principles as we understand. The next trait to become a Super Bowl champion, a spiritual Super Bowl champion, is a natural outgrowth of the first five. The sixth trait of a spiritual Super Bowl champion is sacrifice. The key to success in any venue is a willingness to sacrifice. To sacrifice is to give up something for a specific purpose. To sacrifice, we pay a price. Vince Lombardi said, quote, success is like anything worthwhile. It has a price. You have to pay the price to win, and you have to pay the price to get to the point where success is possible. Most importantly, you must pay the price to stay there. Football is a great deal like life in that it teaches that work, sacrifice, perseverance, competitive drive, selflessness, and respect for authority is the price. You know, respect for authority is the price that each and every one of us must pay to achieve any goal that is worthwhile. A spiritual Super Bowl champion is willing to and will sacrifice. In doing so, our time, our thinking, and our actions will be radically changed. True sacrifice is not just a one-time event. Like Paul says, you know, be that, you know, living sacrifice. This spiritual Super Bowl champion, like the Super Bowl athlete, continually trains and sacrifices. There is no off season. The Apostle Paul did not rest on his laurels, not even when he was old. He continued to press on. He knew that the goal line was still a few yards ahead. The final trait is an element that ties the previous six together and gives them shape. The seventh and final trait we will cover today of a spiritual Super Bowl champion is character. Character. Charles Reed, English novelist and dramatist, said, "Sow an act and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny." Please turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Without exception, every successful Super Bowl team has a game plan that integrates all the elements of their training into a winning strategy. For the spiritual Super Bowl champion, character is the element that integrates desire, discipline, conviction, commitment, courage, and sacrifice together. Character for us first fruits can be defined as Christ-likeness, you know, to follow his example. Look, or even more so, to emulate his example. Looking more and more like our brother and savior was the reason Paul trained so hard. Philippians 3, verse 10 and 11. Philippians 3, 10 and 11. "I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead." Paul acknowledged that he was not there yet, but he was moving in that direction. Each day he drew closer because, you know, this is what this entire drive was. But he was moving again. He was moving in that direction. He had the desire. He was disciplined. He had conviction. He was committed and focused. He had the courage. He was willing to sacrifice. And he was developing godly character. Paul lost his life to a Roman sword. With the drawing of his last breath, he crossed the goal line. The time clock sounded and he had won the game. Paul was a spiritual Super Bowl champion. Waiting for him is a price. A price greater than any Super Bowl ring. For Paul, there will be a crown that will last for eternity. As we have briefly examined seven key characteristic traits essential to emerge victorious, let's turn to what ultimate victory looks like. The second point to touch on today is receiving the crown of victory. Receiving the crown of victory. As we walk with our Father, we, already in this lifetime, enjoy a foretaste of a lasting victory, which leads to life ever after. Somebody once said, "We've read the end of the book." It's true. What does victory mean to each one of us? Our Father's way of life, the way of victory, has been and is being offered to us through the life, suffering, death, resurrection, and high priesthood of Jesus Christ. Do we yearn for the ultimate victory? What is our vision? What is our strategy to achieve lasting victory? In his book entitled Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, Dr. Stephen R. Covey extensively discusses the importance of beginning with the end in mind. Please turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. With the determination to win the good fight, and to win the race set before us, we need to start out every day with the end in mind. As iron sharpens iron, you and I have been called to assemble here today to share a foretaste of a lasting victory. And we have that invitation from our Father each and every week. Are we determined to strive to win the crown? Do we begin each and every day with the end in mind? Our spiritual race is an exciting challenge, and it does bring its reward. Let's notice the hopeful words of James, the brother of Jesus. James 1, verse 12. James 1, verse 12. Blessed, the connotation is happy, to be envied, is the man who is patient on the trial and stands up on the temptation. For when he has stood the test and been approved, he will receive the victor's crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let's look at this crown of life. The Greek word for crown is stephanos. Strong writes on the number 4735, a mark of royalty or in general exalted rank, the wreath or garland which was given as a prize to victors in public games, and in a metaphoric sense, the eternal blessedness which will be given as a prize to the genuine servants of God in Christ, the crown wreath, which is the reward of the righteousness, unquote. Paul makes reference to having fought the good fight, having finished the race, and having kept the faith. He knew that there was a crown laid up for him. In ancient Greece, winners of sporting contests and soldiers successful in battle were given garlands of oak or laurel leaves. In the original Olympic Games, the winners of the races and contests were awarded laurel wreaths. It was the prize the athlete coveted above all. The same held true during the 2004 Olympic Summer Games in Greece. All the medal winners were given circles of leaves on their heads, as well as their medals. Also, gold medal winners of boxing events are crowned with gold laurel wreaths. And we have a form of wrestling in Switzerland, and we call that person for the year after giving him a wreath on the head. He was actually our king for the year. You know, it's more a sport, more to show him respect. He has no power, nothing, obviously. He's just more representative of for the sport. But it's treasured. Another picture from the sporting world comes from horse racing. The winner of a horse race is often given a large wreath of flowers. This also pictures a winner's crown. William Barclay writes, "What is the crown? It is the crown of life." And that phrase means that it is the crown which consists of life. The crown of the Christian is a new kind of living which is life indeed. Through Jesus Christ, he has entered into life more abundant. James says that if the Christian meets the testings of life in the steadfast constancy which Christ can give, life becomes infinitely more splendid than ever it was before. The struggle is the way to glory, and the very struggle itself is a glory. 1 John chapter 2. The reward of our spiritual race is a crown of life. What kind of life? Eternal life. The Apostle John makes clear the kind of life believers have been promised. 1 John 2, verse 25. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. Everlasting life is the crown promised to the believer. First Peter chapter 5. It is not a perishable crown, of olive or pine branches or laurel or wild celery sometimes. It is the imperishable crown of eternal life, a crown that does not wither nor die. The Apostle Peter describes this reward, 1 Peter 5, verse 4. 1 Peter 5, verse 4. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. And we understand that's a reference to the Feast of Trumpets. The fervent desire to bring glory to Zeus, here for the Greek, Apollo and Poseidon, drove the ancient athletes to win crowns and wreaths. But the Spirit of the living Jesus Christ empowers the believer to run the race and win. It's that empowerment, obviously. It's that living Christ in us. Otherwise, the best intended efforts are in vain, as we understand. It's so critical that we have that living Christ in us. Galatians 2, verse 20. Maybe you can just reference that. Galatians 2, verse 20. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, said Paul. And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 29, again, you can just jot that down. Colossians 1, verse 29. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. The Greek word here translated struggling means agonizing, competing, and striving. It's in the English Standard Version that uses the word struggling. Other versions take striving because it can be interchangeable, you know, agonizing, competing, and striving. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. An awe-inspiring transformation is promised to the believer who runs the race well. The time of this great transformation comes at the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. Notice Paul's description of this occurrence. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 through 54. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 54. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory, which is the message of the spring holiday season. And in Romans 2, verse 7, if you want to jot that down, we learn that to those who by patience in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. Our spiritual race is not an easy one, but the reward is great. So earlier in this message, I presented two trivia questions. Now, who won Super Bowl 15? The Oakland Raiders. Now they are the Las Vegas Raiders, I guess. And who wore number 77? I don't know if you guys remember Joe Campbell. No, the ambassador, maybe some of us in this room will remember Joe. Joseph Campbell, a first-round pick in the NFL draft of 1977. Actually, he went as the seventh overall pick. He's a former American football player who played defensive end in the National Football League from 1977 through 1981 for the New Orleans Saints, Oakland Raiders, and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He played college football at Maryland. In 1992, Campbell was inducted into the Delaware Sports Museum and Hall of Fame. Campbell also taught physical education at Ambassador University in Texas. in the 1990s. As noted in March 1993 news article, Texas couple demonstrates spirit of service volunteerism. You know, the main point wasn't what I just mentioned of that article. It was really the philanthropy and how they opened their house and how they had adopted so many children because they had the means to do so. And it's incredible how many children they became foster parents. In conclusion, tomorrow night a game of great importance will be played. For some said, yeah, really important. Modern day gladiators will face off across a line of scrimmage. A call will be made, leather will slap, and bodies will collide and crash. A battle will have begun. For 4 15-minute quarters, athletes will expend enormous energy and Herculean efforts to move a piece of pigskin up and down a field of grass. In the end, one team will emerge victorious. A trophy will be awarded. Rings will be presented. Cash will be given. Glory will be bestowed. Advertising contracts and endorsement deals will be awarded. And one team will have bragging rights for a year or a little longer. Yet at the same time, by far more significant game is being played, and we are the key players on the field. And of course, that's not a game, as we understand. We have the opportunity to play for eternal rewards, to receive a prize that will never dim nor fade. The outcome is up to each one of us. Do we choose to be a spiritual bush leaguer, or do we choose to become a spiritual Super Bowl champion? Do we have the desire? Are we willing to discipline ourselves? Do we have conviction? Are we focused and committed? Do we have the courage? Are we willing to make the sacrifices? Are we developing the character? Then we shall emerge victorious wearing the crown of life. Sow an act and you reap a habit. Sow a habit and you reap a character. Sow a character and you reap a destiny. I would like to conclude this afternoon by reading a short poem by John Samuel Beulah Munsell. Fight the good fight with all thy might. Christ is thy strength and Christ thy right. Lay hold on life and it shall be thy joy and crown eternally. In the coming days, weeks, and months, let's strive to emerge victorious.